Hello and welcome to our home again. Today is Fourth Advent and we were looking at love. The love who came down. One of love's names is Emmanuel, which means God with us.
The theme of each of our readings and teachings during Advent is often to prepare to the second coming while celebrating the first coming of Christ at Christmas.
First Advent, we lit the prophecy candle.
Second Advent, we lit the candle after sharing of the angel coming to Joseph and Mary.
The third Advent, last week, we lit the candle for reading, after reading of when the angels talked to the shepherds.
Now here we are at Fourth Advent, and I would like to read to you John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son.
That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
For God did not send this Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Now God's love for us is one of the main things the Apostle John wrote about in the Bible. If you need to hear more about how much God loves you, then the best place to go is your Bibles, the New Testament, and read the book of John for yourself. Now, Leah, can you light the fourth candle? Thank you, Leah. And I want to thank both Jada and Leah for your involvement in these last 4 weeks. I have been blessed. On Thursday, December 24th, we are putting together a special recorded candlelight service. Your Vineyard worship leaders, Barry, myself, and with the help of Jeff, invite you to join us at the 6:30 p.m. Christmas Eve. Make sure you have your candles ready.
Papa will be speaking on love today, and his message is called Love One Another.
Do you have your favorite morning beverage?
What's your favorite morning beverage?
A smoothie.
Smoothie? And yours?
Water.
Water? Mine is Papa's lattes he makes me every morning. Now, do you have your Bibles with you? And let's pray. Lord, we seek your kingdom. And Lord, we know that everything else will just fall into place as we seek you. Lord, we pray for all of our hearts to be open to hear your message today. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed the Advent portion with Nancy and the kids, and it's been a real blessing to have them part of this. And this morning is the fourth week of Advent. We're going to look at the theme of love today. And when we think about love at Christmas time, our first thought usually is of God's love expressed to the world in the gift of his one and only Son, the babe in the manger. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But I think that this morning is also a good time to remind us all about our mission statement as a church. And our mission statement is connected to this idea of God's love. To know, it says, and make known, the unsurpassable love of Christ. That the first order of business for us as believers and as a church body is to know deep down how much God loves us, God loves you, and to experience that love, to really know it deep down. And then in whatever way we can and with whoever we can, to express or expand that love to others. Now, I would say that during COVID-19, it is, and especially I think in this second time of restrictions coming over Christmas, it feels hard for many people to first feel God's, you know, deep abiding love for them in a way that quiets their anxiety or their fear or their loneliness. So many people have expressed to Nancy and I that the second lockdown has been, you know, far tougher for them than the first. I think we're all kind of COVID tired, and we realize, I think, with ever increasing measure, how vital it is to meet together as the body physically. And perhaps if anything good is going to come out of this COVID time, it will be a renewed appreciation for the church of the importance of gathering together, the privilege it is to worship together, and the importance of obeying, in a sense, the command of God to not forsake the assembly of the saints. Now, as I say this, it's important for everybody to realize I am not saying that we should disobey the current restrictions as a church asked of us by the government of Canada, both provincially and federally. I'm just saying that when the restrictions are lifted and over, maybe the complacency many of us people have had about church and towards the Sunday gathering will be ultimately gone. But if feeling God's love for us is a challenge during COVID, then the idea of actually expanding that love to others when we have been basically instructed to not meet with anyone outside of our immediate family, that would seem even harder, wouldn't it? So on this, the fourth week of Advent, I want to look at how can we live out, in a sense, our mission statement during this lockdown. But to do that, let's look first at John 15, 10 to 17. And it says this: "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command: love one another." Now, I believe that this is Jesus' primary command, church, to us. The one that is meant to drive everything else that Jesus might have us do, even the Great Commission that he gives us, which is another command. Let me explain to you. So let's compare this command, for instance, with the other famous command found in Matthew chapter 28 called the Great Commission. And it says this in Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go and to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age. Now, in one sense, the Great Commission drives all that the church is supposed to do. Not just our church, but really all churches, all Bible-believing churches. It is, in my opinion, why Jesus has not yet returned. As Peter says, Jesus is not slow in coming, as some say he is, but he is instead patient and not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone who will to come to repentance and receive eternal life. This is important to realize. God's delay is an act of his love. Okay? Now, Jesus' Great Commission is why we will, as a church, eventually again gather both on Sundays and in home groups. It is why we do these videos for you now and post them on YouTube. It's why we will have youth group again and children's ministry. It's what drives, I believe, Cal and Lori Franzen to do the mission work in India that they do. It's what drives Terry Somerville to do the radio station, Spirit FM. And it is why we need to keep inviting, even now, new people to know Jesus and to invite them to join with us in this community of faith. But even without COVID-19, most churches get tired trying to keep all these balls in the air. But I think it's because we miss the real juice, you might say, or the real motivation that Jesus wants us to have when we are all doing these activities. The thing that changes everything about how we perceive ministry is found in this first command that I'm talking about, the command to love each other. Now, if we try and do all this stuff from a task orientation perspective or a works perspective, it usually burns us out, and the church is constantly kind of relaunching ministry as people tire out. And maybe that's why, by and large, God might have shut us most of the ministry down at this time. Maybe he is asking us to get our motives right, to reorient ourselves to God's true motivation and God's fuel for mission, which is love itself. Love from God, for God, and then love for one another, and ultimately love for the other, for those who are lost. And even more than just motive, I think that this love is meant to, in a way, be our end goal. What I mean by that is, it's meant to somehow make the joy and the fruit of the ministry be in the doing of the ministry. We're not, you know, looking at it and saying we'll get joy out of what we expect to happen from ministry. So do you understand the difference that I'm talking about? Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she sort of has some quotes that I think are fairly pertinent to this, and she has a lot to say about the role of love in ministry. And so I want you to read a couple of that. Here's one from Mother Teresa. The greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. The poverty in the West is a different kind of poverty. It is not only poverty of loneliness, but also of spirituality. There is a hunger for love as there is a hunger for God. Now, what she's saying is that in the West, we may not be starving to death per se right now, but we have money, you know, we have money, but we are starving in a much different way. We are lonely. We feel unloved and uncared for, and that the inner search for love is actually the inner search for God, because as the scripture says, God is love. He is the source and the object of love for us. Eh? Without God, there is no real love. Now, our society, our world actually is desperate for love. And I think that, you know, is obviously more true today in this COVID crisis than it was when Mother Teresa first said this, you know. So if we, the church, love each other and then extend that love to others, that is what really attracts people. That is what people are longing for, and that will change everything. Let's read John 17:20-23 now. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, here, Jesus' command becomes a prayer, which is amazing to me. That is how much Jesus wants us to get and understand this love thing. First, he commands it, then he prays for us to actually be able to fulfill it and to see it happen. Here it is clear that the source of our ability to love the way that God wants us to love is found, you know, in our being loved by God, by Jesus, Christ is in us. God is in Christ. It says Christ is in us. We are in Christ. And Christ's Holy Spirit is put in us. It is this Trinitarian circle of perfect love that you and I as believers get to be joined into. That is so amazing. And it is God's love actually flowing through us that enables us to love even each other in the church and then ultimately to reach out and love to the world. Now I want to say something about our love for one another in the church that is very important. You know, why it is so critical, church, that we treat each other well and that we love one another when it comes to reaching out to the lost. You see, the skeptical, the searchers, they are looking at you and I. How do we treat each other? And how we treat each other is really whether they'll join us or not. They'll be watching. And if they see us loving one another, then they begin to crave that and want to join us. Okay, so what do they see? What do they see when they look at us? Do they see us giving mercy to one another, grace and forgiveness? Do they see an invitational spirit? Do they see an inclusiveness and an acceptance of one another that goes beyond what we see in the world around us? And if they don't see that happening between us, why would they believe us and join us? If they do not see God's love in us, then they will ultimately reject the God that we say creates this love. And unfortunately, over the years, the church has not done a great job of loving one another. We have a long history of division. We are more often found criticizing one another than blessing each other, even as denominations and between denominations. And so if they see us gossiping and backbiting one another, if they see us ridiculing one another or slandering others, then how, in fact, are they going to be attracted to the God that we say is so good? The love that Jesus prays we will have for him, church, should then be extended out. It has to be happening in our midst, and then we can extend that love out to others beyond our community. And especially, church, now with this COVID crisis that we're in, if we are angry and upset with people out there, you see, if they don't see love between us, but then if they don't see love being expressed from us to others, to themselves even, especially now at this time, you see, if you're upset and you're angry because somebody tells you you should put a mask on, and I know there's people that don't, you know, want to be able to wear a mask and that, or want to have to wear a mask, but I'm saying you need to express love. That's the call. So if you're not willing to express love and you're angry and upset with people who are just trying to do their jobs, you know, some of these people in these restaurants, they're worried about their businesses. They're just trying to stay financially viable and they don't want to lose their life savings. And this is the only way that the government's going to let them at this point open up. And if they don't enforce these rules, the government will shut them down, you see. So if you are angry at the government, you know, then you can be mad at the government if you believe that all of these restrictions are a violation of your constitutional rights. Then you have every right, I believe, to voice that concern to the governments responsible. But what I'm talking about right now is I'm talking about that store clerk, you see, or that nurse at the hospital, or that waiter or waitress at the restaurant. Church, now is not the time for us to demand our rights in front of them. You know, we need to be showing Christ's love. Now is the time for Christians to shine in this area. We should be the ones that people actually say are the kindest and the most loving to the ordinary, everyday person that's out there today. Because these people, probably more than we are afraid or they're under pressure themselves. And are we making their job easier? Are we making it something that is a pleasure? Do we brighten their day, or are we the ones who are ruining their day? Amen. So it's just, it's a time when we can express love to the world around us. Now, let's read now 1 Corinthians 12:31, and in this we see that this is how God wants us to live life. We read this often in marriages, but we also read it in how we do ministry, how we treat one another, but how we treat the world as well. And now I will show you the most excellent way, and this is Paul speaking. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It's like I'm annoying. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, meaning if I am even sacrificial, but I have not love, I gain nothing. And then he says this, and I want you to hear this, church, this morning. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled, and where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. And now these three remain. And think about this, when, you know, faith and hope and love. But hear this, church. The greatest of these is love. And right at the beginning of chapter 14, Paul says, follow the way of love. It's a complete lifestyle. Okay, so this text in Corinthians is all about how we minister to one another, but also to the world around us. Our motive and our source for ministry is meant to be love. What do people see when they watch us, when they watch you? This is so important. Here's the point. If the ministry we do is not powered by love, then it's empty. It is a clanging cymbal. It's an empty gong. It feels dead, not only to those that we minister to, but to ourselves as well. And I think that's one of the reasons we often burn out. Then we see what real love looks like. And it's this patient, kind, humble, forgiving, it's full of trust, it's full of hope, it's not easily angered, it's protective and persevering. Are we that way to one another? Are we that way towards our brothers in Christ? And ultimately, do we express that heart, those kinds of feelings and of love and values to the world around us? Love is a way, Paul says. It's a pathway to follow. It's more than just a feeling. It's more than even just something you think you ought to try and do. It is, in fact, a lifestyle, a choice of who you and I will be as people. Will you choose love as a way of being today? Mother Teresa says this, I pray that you will understand the words of Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. Ask yourself this, how has he loved me? Do I really love others the same way? Unless this love is among us, we can kill ourselves with work, and it will only be work, not love. Work without love, she says, is slavery. And here I think she has hit the mark dead center. If what we do in ministry we see as work, if even how we treat others we see as work, it becomes slavery. But if what we do is love, If love actually is the goal, then it becomes freedom. It becomes life-giving. Mother Teresa goes on to say something quite profound next, and this is, to me, it really has shifted my way of thinking. Many people mistake our work for our vocation. Our vocation, hear this, church, is the love of Jesus. I'm not sure exactly what heaven will be like, she says, but I know that when we die and it comes time for God to come and judge us, he will not ask, how many good things have you done in your life? Rather, he will ask, how much love did you put into what you did? And I understand Mother Teresa, coming from a Catholic perspective, they have a little different view of grace versus works and things. And I'm fully on with grace, church, I am. But I want you to think about, just take what she's saying, this idea that our vocation is not so much the works that we do, but it is love. It's the love of Christ. So for instance, if you're a Sunday school teacher in the church, right, then your vocation is not to teach a lesson per se. Your vocation is the love of Jesus flowing to you and then from you to the children. Do they feel the love of God when they come and you teach them? If my job as a pastor is to preach a message to you, it is not so much to preach the message necessarily in an entertaining way. I think we would all hope that it would be, that's better than not. But it is to the best of my ability to teach in a way that expresses and that you ultimately will experience the love of God. It is again to flow with God's love in me and then through me to you. My point this morning is simply this. When we think about our mission, what we often, fall into is kind of this results-oriented view of success. How many people did we feed today? How many people did we bring to church today? How many got saved? How big is our church? Those kinds of things. Maybe not now. We don't think that way. But how many views? This might be what I think about today. How many views did I get on the video on YouTube, this last week? And there's nothing wrong with wanting some of those things for the right reasons. I mean, we need to measure things, see if we're doing a good job. But why don't we evaluate the results on a different kind of metrics? What the Bible says is that love ultimately is the goal. Love is actually the fruit that we want. As hard as it may be to measure, that is the proper metric. Not numbers per se, not money, how much we're bringing in, not even spiritual power and whether we're using the gifts and all that. It's simply love. To truly love each other and then to trust that love will actually be the thing that brings health and growth to the body that fulfills ultimately the Great Commission. And so, church, this Christmas, in this Advent, on this fourth week of Advent, my commission to you is not so much to go and make sure you preach the gospel to everyone. My commission is to go and love with the love of Christ and open doors as much as you can to people to long for that thing that you have that enables you then to tell them about the love of God, the love of Jesus found in Christ, which is what Christmas is about. So God bless you. I pray you have a great week, and I pray this message has been a blessing.